Stop in the Mishnah and Gimel Amir Aleph, the last Mishnah on the Amid. Nidimanu Bishplaini Shulchai Lachavei Re'alabzun. The Mishnah has an interesting case. They Zaymim in, who come in, their Eidus was that the Laiva is high to the Malva Elabzuz, Amanos Lidnam Loi Mekan Vat Shleishim Yayim. And it has to be paid back in 30 days. Ruai Mer Mekan Vat Esher Shonim. And Ruai Mer, meaning that the truth was, it was Mekan that he had 10 years to pay him. Oyim Din, so we have to shut them. Kama Adam writes a Litein, Yehebi Adai Elabzuz, they nice on the combat lava, yeah, they nice on the combat Esther Shun. What does that mean? We shot up, how much is it worth to have $1,000? How much is it worth to you to have $1,000 for 9 years and 11 months? Instead of 30 days, to have it for another 9 years and 11 months. So we have to shot up how much that's worth. So how much is that worth? Chaira. First of all, the chayra is ribbon. Isn't that ribbon?
How much wood, though? It's not what's
going to make what it's
ribbon.
So it is ribbon.
Yeah, it is.
It's ribbon, but...
If you can
be up to a guy, you can talk to him. But it has a value. I think that would be the
first
way to answer, no? No, we're saying how much would it be... The loan itself is without ribbon. So how do you figure out how much savings I didn't pay? How do you figure that out? How much a person would pay to get a loan for another ten extra years. So that's ribbon. You're not paid to get a loan for 10 years. Pashas is a ribbon. So L'chayrat Nachum is saying good. The taka is ribbon. But it still has a value. It's a value. How much is it worth to have money? Goyim pay. Ephraim pay. It has a value. So the chayra, this is the more pashta way to learn the Mishnah. We'll see there's a second way to learn, we'll see in a little while. But the simple way to learn the Mishnah is that in Achinami it's takaribis, but who cares? We just try to figure out the value of having the money. When the Torah asks us ribis, the Torah doesn't say it's not worth anything. Of course it's worth something. Of course it's worth something to have money for 10 years. The Torah just asks us paying ribis. But it has a value, being that it has a value. So that's what the Zaydin didn't have to pay.
And it's
we'll see the Gemara. I don't think we'll have to wait and see the Gemara, and we'll see what's the problem.
Why does it have value?
See, it's not ribbis because no one's being charged for a loan. The Zaydin were never borrowed money. They're just paying the worth of having money for 10 years. That's how we shut up what they tried to jizz us. What it's worth. So we shot it up by going and seeing how much interest would people pay for money. And whatever interest people would pay for money, we take that amount, we say Zayman and pay. But if Zayman themselves never borrowed money, so it's the ribbis for Zayman to pay. Just to figure out the value, we have to use ribbis as a way of figuring out the value. I think that's the most simple way to learn the subject. No, her never said it has no value. Her didn't say it has no value. Her said you're not paying. But if the her didn't say it has no value, it's impossible to say that there's no value in having money. It certainly has a value. The her lets you charge going for it, so it has a value. It's just that, just that you know it's charging. And that would be the simple way to learn. We'll come back to a second way in a little while. But there's another cash on this Mishnah. How do you shut up this value? If you think about it, let's say how much interest do people pay today? You know, credit cards, they pay 15%, right? Let's say interest rates would be 15% or let's say it'd be 15%. So let's say someone lent someone else. We try to say how much is it worth to have $1,000 for 10 years. Now let's say interest rates are 15%. You probably don't go by credit card rates because they're not the true market value. And today the interest rates are low, but there's certainly times where interest rates are, let's say, 11, 12%, right? Let's say interest rates are 11%. So for 10 years, how much would you have to pay? for $1,000 over 10 years, how much would you pay? If interest rates were 11%, let's even leave out the compounding. Well, you probably have to count that. What? How much? $1,100, right? That's what comes out from the mission. Right? That's what comes out. If interest rates are 11%, so for 10 years, okay, it's really minus 30 days. But just for simplicity's sake, let's leave it 10 years. So you have to pay $1,100. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense, because if the Eidim Zaynanin would have said, they would have tried to cheat him out of the $1,000 entirely, they would pay $1,000. Now, they didn't try to cheat him out of the $1,000, they just tried to make him get it 10 years later, but they have to pay more? It makes no sense. You follow what I'm saying? Vendem Zaynanin said that the Leiva never has to pay the Malva. The Leiva's money. Never has to pay the Malva. So then they tried to chip the Malva $1,000. Then the Zaynanin pay $1,000. Now, if they say, no, the Leiva has to pay just 10 years later, 10 years later, well, then he has to pay $1,100. Makes no sense. You follow the question? What are you trying to answer? Just, yeah, you have what I'm asking? If you use the Mishnah's method of shocking up, it could end up that you're paying more than if the Zaynanin tried to deny the Chayv entirely. If the Zaynanin were going to deny the Chayv entirely, then they know if the Lefty Zaynanin come in and they say the Chayv doesn't exist, then they're trying to cheat the Malva out of $1,000. And then they have to pay $1,000. If they say the Chayv does exist, but it's going to be paid 10 years later, then they have to pay $1,100. It can be. What? If you're in a hypothetical case where it's 11% a year for 10 years, so 11% a year means on $1,000 you pay $110 a year. For 10 years, that's $1,100. I agree with you. So that's a kasha, it's not a teruah. The Mishnah says, "I'm dim kamba adam loy to leitem." The other zaman is kamba lam yedim, kamba tashanim. Doesn't the Mishnah say how much a person will pay?
No, not
the actual. I'm dim kamba adam loy to leitem. The other
elephant.
The shasta. Tell me how you shasta that. What do you do? Yeah. So tell me how you shut up the Mishnah. Present time. So the Chayyur can say like this. How much would you pay someone to lend you $1,000 for 10 years? If you made a one-time payment now, that'll be an option. I remember Refines, the friend of Baruch, learned the Mishnah this way. So how much would a person pay now to get a 10-year loan? Yeah, but in this case, you make a present payment, everything is now, to get $1,000 loan. Yeah, nobody would pay $1,100 to get $1,000 loan. So how much? Let's say. One thing at a time. First, let's try this one. Does it make sense of how much? You following what I'm saying? You guys took accounting in school? It's not complicated. How much would you pay now to get a $1,000 loan? Now, how would you estimate that? How would you shut up the value? Don't just pick a number out of your head. How do you go about estimating that? Let's say interest rates are 11% a year. Someone comes over to you and he says, How much would you pay me to lend you $1,000? Let's just pick a number and see how it works. Let's say $500. Somebody would pay $500 to get a $1,000 loan. What does it mean? I hope you follow what I'm saying. How much would a person, if you pay someone $500 to give you a $1,000 loan, what's really happening? He's lending you $500, you're going to pay him back $1,000 at the end of 10 years. Right? He's paying you $500, you're going to give him back $1,000 at the end of 10 years.
Not having that money,
which means what?
Not having that money for 10 years, worth it.
That's right. Well, what's coming out is, if interest rates are 11% a year, nobody would be willing to lend you $1,000 for $500. Isn't that what we're talking about? Flying faces. It's stuffing people to cross the Brooklyn Bridge, right? If I come over to you, I say, pay me $500, I'll lend you $1,000. What's really happening? You're giving me $500, I'm giving you back the same $500. Please don't bother giving it to me. I'm just really giving you $500. Right? I'm giving you $500, and 10 years later, you're going to give me back $1,000. Is that what's happening? You're paying me $500 to give you a $1,000 loan. Now, I wouldn't be willing to do that if the interest rates are 11%, because it comes out, I'm giving you $500, I'm getting back $1,000. I wouldn't want to do that. Of course, I'm getting 10% a year. I'm not getting a penny earlier. I'm getting a penny earlier. I'm lending you $500. The $500 I gave, if I give you $1,000 and you give me back $500, so I just gave you $500. There's no $1,000.
That's right. Otherwise, that's $1,000 and get back nothing and wait for 11 years.
I'm lending you I have $500. I'm lending you $500. You're getting back $1,000 10 years later. We're just pulling it that I'm giving you $1,000, give me $500. That's ridiculous. If I give you the money, give it back to me, it's a stuff. Basically, what's happening is it's just instead of $1,000 loan, it's a $500 loan paid back at the end of 10 years. Then the cheshbonos go back to the way we said before. Nobody would lend, a person would lend $500 at 11% means that he for $500 he'd want to get back $550 interest, not $500 interest. That's what I'm saying. It's just a smaller loan. Nothing helped. This mahalos didn't help. To change it to how much a person will pay today for a loan doesn't help, because it's ridiculous to pay. What does it mean you're paying for a loan? It's just work. If I come over to you, I say, I'll pay you 50 cents to lend me a dollar. If I give you 50 cents, you lend me a dollar. You're lending me 50 cents. You're not getting anything today. You're lending me 50 cents. I owe you a dollar at the end of the period of time. The whole original problem comes back. It's just, instead of calling it $1,000 loan, we'll call it a $500 loan. But all the problems are the same. But it's the same thing. If interest rates would be anything more than 10%, it would be 11%. Then it will come out that you would have to pay me more than the amount itself. The whole problem comes back.
That's right. People do pay more than the value.
True. But by Zaynin, it doesn't make sense. Because since Zaynin made it be master the Lagami, they'd only pay the amount itself. So how could you say in this case that they should pay more than the amount?
I think the only reason they're really pleasant is working because you just pick 500 numbers.
So pick any number.
Say
$400. So what am I doing? I'm lending you how much?
Let's say it's,
if I give you $1,000, give me back $400. How much am I lending you?
I give $400 back $1,000.
So how much am I actually lending you?
$400. No.
$600.
No, I mean you get back $600.
So I'm lending you $400.
I get
$1,000. So they would have to pay how much? So how much should they
decide?
You're right. But then how much did the Zaynin pay?
Whatever makes the exact difference.
Let's say the number was 400. The Zaynin would pay 600. They'd pay $600 on the... They would pay $600 for what? For a $1,000 loan. I mean, it's not a $500 loan. It's a $1,000 loan. It's a what? Yeah, but their case was a $1,000 loan. It's the equivalent value of a $600 loan. From a $400 loan to a $600 loan. What? Yeah. I want to illustrate to you that there's a problem. I don't need to lose you. The way to work with chopping up here is problematic. Because it's not the stop, it's not even should pay more than the money itself. Yeah. Certain value, but it could end up being, there's definitely a value, and it could be that having $1,000 for 10 years is worth $1,100. But it's not the stat that a Zimmerman should pay the $1,100. Because if they had tried to cheat him, if they said the price didn't exist, they'd only pay $1,000, they still can exist, but it's 10 years, it's going to be paid in 10 years, then they pay more? It can be worse that they said the bank doesn't exist.
Who will pay also?
What?
The volume will pay also.
Then
who will pay more
also after 10 years? He'll end up paying it off over 10 years. Yeah, but he's not paying.
He must
design it and pay over 10 years. It doesn't seem like that's an initiative.
Well, Rabbi Yosef says it's a $400 loan now, it's a 1,000 in 10 years. The same thing as 400,000 now, came back to 2,100. Right?
Yeah, but the chayv itself is not the problem.
The loan already was, but after 10 years, that's actually 1,000. That means the present value is 1,000 after 10 years, now 480. And if we're getting 1,000 from the market, that means we're getting a deal of 520. He's getting $520, because he's getting 7,000 only 480, he's getting 1,000. So if he's giving me, well, I'm losing $520, that's what they're going to be $520.
They're paying the difference of the value of the loan.
What amount of money
could be?
It
could be. You're right. I'll tell you what the response says. I gave you this whole agdami. You should understand the problem. The Mishnah, the whole umdina of the Mishnah is the problem. The response says that the way we shot it up is if somebody lent someone $1,000 for 10 years, and after 30 days he needed the money back. He went over to him and he said, you know, I need my money back. I can't force you to pay me because I lent it you for 10 years. How much would a person be menake? How much would he say, all right, you pay me now, I'll give you a discount. Instead of paying the full 1,000, you'll pay me a lower amount. How much would a person be willing to give a discount for earlier payment? The bus says that that's the way you shut up the value of our mission. Okay, so how much the malva would pay to get his money back early? Right? They tried to cheat the malva out of the money instead of the malva paying in 30 days, the malva get paid in 10 years. How much would the malva give a discount to get his money early? Obviously, he's not going to give a discount greater than the loan itself. The $1,000 loan, he gets it to be prepaid, he would give a discount something. Not going to give the whole chayv off. So however much, as I said, it could be similar to what you were saying. So how much of a discount would he give in order to prepay? That's what it says in the Ritva. So Arkhla there says,
how can you shut up the knowledge?
The Mishnah is talking about the Mishnah is talking, but we're shutting up the value of the value of the loan for that extra period of time. The way to shut it up is to see in a case how much a malva would pay to get it back early. That's a way of estimating the value of the money, the present value of the money. It's just a method of figuring it out. It's true. Well, my said it doesn't pay.
How do you get it back?
What? Well, every market value, you call in experts and you ask them. True, someone needed the money more badly. It's always that way. So you try to estimate it best you can. So Chaner says that this mitzva is answering the first kasha. I approve it. He's answering it in the following manner. There's a halacha in Hilchos Ribbis called Mar ben Alasar. Mishnah, Mar ben Alasar means if payment is due later, there's no issur ribbis to entice someone to pay early. In other words, someone lends you owes you money, and you want to entice them to prepay you, there's no issur ribbis to say, I'll take less money and pay me early. It's a discount, it's not ribbis. Even though you're really giving up money to get money, one could argue it should be ribbis. But the Mishnah says, Mar ben Alasar, when money is due later, you're allowed to give a discount to get it earlier. Or another example, the Mishnah's example is rent. Rent, when you rent something, usually you pay at the end. Now, today it could be different. Apartments, people pay rent in the beginning of the month. Tanya the Gemara, rent was due at the end, or salaries. Salaries are paid at the end, even today. You work for a month, you get paid at the end of the month, your salary. So you're allowed to tell your employer, prepay me and I'll give you a discount. supposed to get paid $1,000 at the end of the week. So give me the pay me at the beginning of the week, and I'll take only $900. It's mutter. There's no issur ribbis to give a discount for something if payment is due at the end. But the Mishnah says, ain ma'abin ala mecha. You're not allowed to do the same thing. Let's say you go into a store and you buy something. You go and you buy furniture. So payment is due right away. You say, I'll pay later and I'll pay you more. That's ribbis. Even when you buy something. To say, when money is due early and you say, I'll pay you more for giving me the money later, that's an issur ribbis. You can't pay for credit. You go into a store, they give you credit and they want to charge you for it, that's ribbis. Only, it's only mutter in what the Mishnah calls ma'ben al haschar, something which is due later, and you're getting the money earlier, you're getting a prepayment, so that a discount is mutter. That's what it says in the Mishnah above Mitzvah. So it's up to Aruch Lener that in any case where money is really due later, any case where money is due at the later time, you're allowed to give a discount for early payment. So he says that's shot in the Ritzvah. The Ritzvah says you shots up something that's not ribbis. When payment is really due at the end of 10 years, and the Malva says, I want my money early, so he says, I'll give you a discount. Instead of paying pay me early, after 30 days, and you don't have to pay me the whole amount, pay me only a percentage. So that is no issur ribbis because of this din of Marben Al-Hashkar. Like it was a dry cleaners in Flatbush that was offering a discount if you pay when you drop off the clothing. How do I know there was such a dry cleaners? Because I got phone calls. Is it ribbis? It's not ribbis. Because normally you pay a dry cleaner after he does his work. That's the way it normally works. So you're allowed to give a discount for prepayment. That's mutter. Anytime you prepay, that's mutter at a discount. By Scott. Not by a loan, but by that's the time you get a loan. But on a Scott. That's a separate issue. I don't want to get sidetracked. So, Dr. Clazer, we now have two pshatim in why there's no issur ribbis in our mission. We have the first pshat, we said. The taka, it is ribbis. But who cares? We're just shouting up what's better than pay. That's the way we said in the beginning today. Now we have another pshat, the Ritzvah. The Ritzvah is saying that really we have to use the method of umdara has to be a non-ribbis method. So we're using a non-ribbis method of shouting up, and that's what we're doing. Dr. Arflaner and Afkanina between the two ways of learning. What happens if you had a case the opposite of our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, what did the Edom say? Really, the loan is due in 10 years. And they even said it's due actually earlier, 30 days. That's the case of our mission. But the Aden wanted the payment to be earlier. What would be the reverse? If the MS is that the payment was due in 30 days, and the Zaymanin lied and they said the payment is due at the end of 10 years. Follow? The Zaymanin, instead of saying, in our Amish's case, the payment was due in 10 years and they said it's due in 30 days. What would be the opposite? The payment is really due in 30 days and they lied and said it's due in 10 years. In such a case, Pashtus, what would you say? The Pashtus is the same. Same exact thing. The halacha should be the same. You shout up how much it's worth and send it in 10. But the Rosh Hashanah says, according to the Ritzvah, it's not so. So according to the Ritzvah, we only shots up from 10 years, how much would you give a discount for 30 days? Because that's not ribbis. Let's say someone lends you money for 30 days. How much would you pay to extend the loan until 10 years? Not pay anything, that's ribbis. If you owe someone money and your money is due in 30 days, and you say, I'll pay you, extend my loan another 10 years, it's a ribbis. Say the money is due earlier, and you're paying to pay later. That's an issur ribbis. According to the Ritzvah's Mahala, in that case, it would be Nathan Zayman would be partner. Because what they tried to do is something which he can't take money for anyway, it's ribbis. So according to the Ritzvah's Mahala, he'll be partner. the very beginning, which also they're saying like the Ritva. The way we learned in the beginning of Shir, it wouldn't be that way. Why not? Where's the Aedis? Why? So they say we have the Shas Havar, and the original Havar was for 10 years. Now you can say, even come to the mountain, they say you were not here at that time. According to the Ritva, the Death Star from there learns, according to the Ritva, you're not Machayat Kasher Zaman, because what were they saying to do? To extend the loan another almost 10 years. You can't take money for that, that's ridiculous. So the Mela was going to pay nothing. What? Maybe they should get mountains. Maybe they should get mountains. Think about it. You can't do Kasher Zaman. Well, no, he seems to say that it doesn't have a value. Well, Jameson was saying before, if it's a ribbis, for a year it has no value. You can't charge for it. He's going to go from there and say. You follow him? So it certainly has a market value, which I would explain doesn't help. In the Ritva, he's saying, if he really, this could be even if it has a value. But the mice, you can't charge a year for that. If you lend money to someone 30 days and he refuses to pay for 10 years, you can't get any interest payment from him. You're stuck. But this is a tremendous takavira between the two mahalkim and how to learn up the mission.
What he said to Ben Sarah, that's not good. He'll say that the mahalkim, if he would have wanted to defend it, he'd be willing to pay for it more. Now, say that's only 30 days.
I hear the Sarah that you're saying. The point, though, that Dr. Ben is making is that if you lend me money for 30 days, and I'm a Rasha, I don't pay you for 10 years, you can't charge me a penny. You're stuck. And you can run after me, I should pay you, but you can't charge me for the extra 9 3/4 years. So the neighbors, Zaynamin, who tried to do that, according to the results, you don't have to pay. They tried to cause a loss, which is not like a loss that has no value on the other.
Even when they pay permission,
but there it has a value.
Yeah, but you could just refuse to pay for 10 years, and they wouldn't even go through.
But who the evidence was for 10 years. They did then were saying it's 30 days, which means Bezin would have been the guy who paid.
Bezin
could be the one. Right. Bezin could be Tisus. It could be from
Shubadis.
I'm not yet Nachinani, but it's the point is, post facto, if he got away with it, there's no payment. So here, they tried to make that he doesn't get away with it. And there's no we're talking about sharpening up the value.
Is that a case where the
Nizik, you mean the life of the mouth? The borrower or the lender? In the case of our Mishnah, the real loan was for 10 years. And they tried to say that it was for 30 days. So they tried to cheat the life. Life has to pay early. That's the case of our Mishnah. They tried to cheat the Leiva and make him pay early. So the Leiva would have had to pay early. That's the case of other Mishnah, right? He did not have a Mishnah, but he was in the Talmud said 30 days. And it wasn't true. Right? They tried to cheat the Leiva. So these are the two ways of learning the Mishnah. Now that we have the two ways of learning the Mishnah, let's get to Rav Moshe's Tshuva. Ramesh touches on a point really we shouldn't touch on, but it's more interesting to get through Ramesh's Tshuva. So Ramesh, because Ramesh and Ebenezer, Simon Kuf Gimel, has a shy life, I hope I'm saying it correctly, but basically, it was a woman who received a payment, this is right after the war, after World War II, received a $2,000 payment from the German government for something that had been taken from her during the war. So she received $2,000 and she was married. And she took, without her husband's assurance, she took the $2,000 and she gave it to tzedakah. I think $1,000 to be given right away and $1,000 to be given after her period. But that's not important. The point is she gave the $2,000 to tzedakah. So the shaila was, does she have a right to give it to tzedakah? And if she doesn't, what are the kaboyim obligated to do to straighten it out? Now the halacha is that a gabay tzedakah is not allowed to take money from a married woman unless it's a davar mu'ud, because it's the husband's prerogative to give out the tzedakah. We assume a davar mu'ud, the husband's not married, but to give out a greater amount of money, a wife has no right without her husband's rishus. And the gabay tzedakah is supposed to know that. The gabay tzedakah is not allowed to take it. In this case, it's a little more complicated. Because whose money was the $2,000? It's really her money. Because it was a reimbursement for money she had before the marriage. It's her money. That money is called Nichsei Malug. Nichsei Malug is the money that a woman brings into a marriage. When a woman brings money into a marriage, that money remains hers. It doesn't become the husband. A man is not claiming his wife's money. The money itself belongs to the woman, and he has a right to the payment. He has a right to use the money. If a woman gets married, she has $2,000, so the husband has a right during the term of the marriage to earn the interest. Whatever that money makes interest goes to the husband. The keren, the $2,000 itself, still belongs to the woman. In this case, she gave away the keren. She gave away the $2,000. So the question is, when the gabon took the money, what did they take? They took her $2,000. So what did they do wrong? Now they shouldn't have taken it because they cheated the husband out of the payment. But did they really steal anything? I think I know there's anything they have to pay back. The $2,000 was given out already, Tanya. They couldn't get it back. So now the question is, do the gabon owe anything to the husband? They took $2,000, which was really the lady's. It was the lady's $2,000. But the gabon should know that you don't take money. The lashon of the Gemara is that the gabon now had to pay. So they were mad. Question is a good question. She was also mad that they didn't get away. At any rate, Rav Moshe says that it's a gemara. The Gemara brings, I believe, from Bava Metzia. It says that when someone steals the same load from a woman, let's say a garment took the $2,000, and they caught the garment, and the lady says, "I'm meichel you the $2,000." The garment still has to pay the husband the payrus they were matching, despite the fact that the woman was meichel the $2,000, the keren, which was taka husband. But they have to pay what it was worth to the husband to have those in the same amount. That's a good question. For how long?
Like
the term of the marriage. So the Gemara's case is a chesed. So in a chesed, it's easy to shut up. You shut up. How much is the rental for such a chesed? You shut it up. You have to shut it up. You shut up the woman's life expectancy. But you shut up the rental of the chesed that was taken. What about the money? So Moshe's bothered. What about money? So that he brings from our Gemara that even when you use somebody's money, you take away the payrus of money, that there's such a thing as tashlumin. We see from our sugya that there's such a thing as paying the value of use of the money. But if you think about it, our mission is very similar. The money was taka, the mouth is money. They didn't want to lie. And the lawyer really borrowed. They were only lying about the use of the money. And we say that they have to pay. So they were only lying about the use of the money. And the mission says you have to pay. So the same thing in the same malug, you have to pay for the use of the money. So still here, everything is very glat. It's a very glat, svara, everything. Problem that Rav Moshe throws in is that there's a Gemara that says Hamivate al Kisay Shel Chaveira. It's potter, a grunt. What does Mivate al Kisay? It means, let's say you have a purse and you have $1,000 in your purse, and I, now if I pick up the purse, then I'm a gani. Here's where I don't touch the money. The money's in your house. I go to your house and I put a lock on the door of your house. You can't get to your money. Or, well, if I lock up your whole house and steal the house from you. Let's say the money is in a box and I put a lock on the box. I don't allow you to use your money. So you come with a tefiah, I should have to pay. You were going to use that money for a year, you would have made 10% on it. So you want me to pay. So the halacha is, that's a grama, fa'alma, just a clause, and I'm putter b'dinei adam, there's no chiyuv mamon. So the big kasha is, what is the difference between the vatal kisei shel chaver, right? Where you don't let somebody use his own money and your pocket. There's no shutting up of value. And the case here in Makis Dakim, where you cause somebody to not have use of the money for 10 years and you do have to pay. Isn't that the same thing? What's the nafkamina between the two cases? This is the kasha on this. What?
Give him the money.
Which case? Namishna?
Namishna.
True. Started with permission. The question is, why should that matter? The difference. Why does it matter? I want to sum up. This Mishnah, today, you have three major questions on this Mishnah that everybody has, which we can't say. First question we ask is that, L'chaira, it's Ribbis. So in the middle of the first Kashra, it's Ribbis, Yishayin Amir. So we have two Mahalchim. The way we said Pashit and the Ritzvah. The second question was, how do you shut up the Mishnah? We had a problem, how do you shut up the value of our Mishnah? So we only had really one Mahalach, the Ritzvah's Mahalach. How much a person would give a discount for prepay. The third major kasha, which the Ramban and the Ritzvah asked, is that this is Mevatel Kisa Shel Chaveiro. That this is a case of making someone not have use of money, which is only a grama. A grama is really pater. Not considered mamon. That's the third question. In the Shiurei Reb Shmuel Rizovsky, he brings the Rishayim, he brings the Ramban, the Ritzvah, and he also brings the Rajba from the Sefer Kiddushin. Basically three ways. And obviously when we're going to learn those three ways, it will help us understand the other two kashas also, at least. It will give us a better spin on the Mishnah.